Just going to be taking news off of our LinkedIn page today. So if you haven't already, please go ahead, smash the like and subscribe button below. Definitely helps the YouTube algorithm help with our videos, sharing the great tech news that we have available for you guys. Also privacy updates, software updates, tech deals, and much, much more. If you haven't already followed our podcast channel, guys, please guys follow us at Electronic News Network. We're available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts as well. And without further ado, guys, we're going to take news off our LinkedIn page. All right. We'll also leave other social media links in our description. So you guys can go ahead, click on the links and follow us on our other social media pages as well, too. All right, guys. So it's very interesting day today. Very interesting week, actually, because yesterday lots of things were, you know, lots of products did roll out, as well as software updates as well too, guys. So we're gonna talk today more about Microsoft, okay? So Microsoft, Chinese hackers are exploiting Exchange Server flaws to steal emails. So if you run Microsoft Exchange Server, it's time to patch up. So a hacking group is exploiting previously unknown vulnerabilities to steal email files from US-based servers. On Tuesday, Microsoft warned the public about the attacks, which it blamed on Chinese state-sponsored group dubbed, which it's the really abbreviated name is Hafnium, spelled Hafnium. So the attacks, which remain ongoing, have been exploiting four vulnerabilities in Microsoft Exchange Server 2013, 2016, 2019. As a result, Microsoft is urging corporate customers to install its patches as soon as possible, right? So Exchange, you know, Exchange Online is not affected, nor were any other Microsoft products, luckily. So please, guys, if you're running on the Microsoft Exchange Server, please be aware that, yes, it has been, there was some sort of a hack and attack on it, but Microsoft, of course, is working diligently to fix this problem so you guys won't have any issues on their server, right? So if you want to learn more about this too, please, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you guys can learn more about it there as well too, guys. Moreover, on privacy and security, guys, we got Google. Google Chrome update fixes another worrying security flaw. Google has moved quickly to fix another serious security flaw in its browser with the release of Chrome 89. So the company was forced to act after the Chrome security flaw was reported by Allison Huffman of Microsoft Browser Vulnerability Research last month, right? So known as CVE-2021-21166, mysterious security issue which affects Google Chrome version 89.0.43.89.72 appears to have already been patched by Google, signifying that could have allowed hackers or threat actors to do some serious damage in Chrome, guys. So, you know, that is really good that, and this is why we love Google Chrome, right? Google as well as Microsoft work really proactively, guys, in order to make sure they patch up these flaws, right, within their servers, within their browsers, within their systems, right? And this is another example too. So this is one of the most recent ones as well too. They definitely fix this patch as well too on the Google Chrome browser, so there should not be any more problems with that, right? And obviously, you know, with the browser of Chrome 89 too, if there are any other security flaws, I mean, even in the future, I know Google actually is definitely going to stay proactive and fix those issues, right? So definitely, guys, stay vigilant, right? Again, going to keep saying this over and over, you know, stay vigilant of phishing scams, phishing emails, texting emails, stay, you know, vigilant of any sort of weird behavior, you know, within, you know, your Chrome browser or even Microsoft browser, wherever browser you're using, whatever email service you're using, just be very careful, guys, to not click any unknown links you don't know, or, you know, click into any pop-ups or anything like that, because again, those are other red flags too. Moreover, guys, we also have the concept of the flying taxi startup Volocopter picks up another 241 million, says service is now 2 years out, right? So in a year where mass transit on airplanes, trains, and buses has had lower travel numbers in the wake of COVID-19 pandemic, one of the startups hoping to pioneer a totally new approach to get individuals from A to B, flying taxis, has raised some significant funding, right? So Volocopter, a startup out of southern Germany that has been building and testing electric VTOL aircraft, has picked up another 200 million, about 200 million euros, about $240 million in a Series D rounding of funding, right? So it looks like these guys, this startup picked up another round of funding, which is really good. And they're saying that this service could even roll out in the next 2 years. So that's, you know, if we take a step back, that is definitely a lot of money to fund a business campaign like this, to allow it to come into the market, to allow it to, come into everyday society, right? And definitely very cool. Right. Moreover, along its aircraft, Volocopter has been building a business case in which its vessels will be used in taxi style fleet in urban areas. So CEO Florian Rieder tells us that live services are now 2 years out for the two vehicle models it's been developing as well. So 2 years, guys, 2 years. As you can see this picture here, it's a nice mini helicopter here. And obviously, you know, it's called the flying taxi, so hopefully, you know, it'll be, you know, airborne regulated, and it's probably not going to go as high as airplanes, maybe, probably not, but definitely high enough to get you from point A to point B. Looks really, really cool, guys, right? So if you want to see more pictures, you want to know more about the company, please, guys, please follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, we have Zoom fatigue is real. Zoom fatigue is real, right? So if you're tired of Zoom, don't worry, many other people are too. So how to fight your tiredness with Zoom? So if you're feeling more exhausted than ever by a never-ending loop of Zoom calls, you're not alone, according to Stanford professor Jeremy Belson. In his peer-reviewed academic paper for Technology, Mind, and Behavior, Balencio, founding director of Stanford Virtual Human Interact Lab, outlined four main causes for video conferencing fatigue, starting with the unnatural amount of eye contact with others. As you know, guys, you know, personally, you know, even, you know, about, even about, you know, later in 2020, so about a few months ago, right? Even sometimes now going on Zoom, it's cool. Like, it's nice. It's very, you know, it's a nice platform, and it's convenient, but sometimes it can get very tiring, right? Especially if you're in an interview, you know, you want to look your interviewer in the eye all the time. You want to make sure that you're doing things that are appropriate, you know, your facial expressions are appropriate that are on screen, right? So people don't miscommunicate some things, right? You may be overthinking some things. So definitely, guys, don't worry about that, right? So let's go into this article. Let's see a few things on how, you know, that could help you out, right, in the future as we move forward in this digital realm, especially working from home and doing a lot of things online, right? So social anxiety of public speaking is one of the biggest phobias that exists in our population, Bellinson explains. So when you're standing up there and everybody's staring at you, that's a stressful experience. He says when using Zoom for many, many hours, we enter a hyper-aroused state due to the closeness of others' faces. As our brains interpret this as an intense situation, this can take a toll on the body. One recommendation to ease this stress is by using a smaller Zoom window and lessening the full screen use, guys. So definitely, you know, making shrinking your window size smaller so it's not super intimidating, right? For some people. Similarly, Balancing believes seeing yourself on video calls can be fatiguing, much like someone following you around a mirror constantly, right? So his solution, Platforms should eliminate this practice as a regular feature. Users can hide all self-view after ensuring they're framed correctly before calls. The director also states that video calls can reduce our mobility in frustrating ways. Being forced to sit in one place to communicate via video limits our ability to move around in ways that aren't natural, right? So he recommends placing external cameras further from the screen or periodically turning cameras off for a state of rest, right? So finally, Bellinson believes that there are higher cognitive load during video chats than during face-to-face interaction, right? So you got to make sure that your head is framed within the center of the video. He says, if you want to show someone that you're agreeing with them, you have to do an exaggerated nod or put your thumbs up. That adds cognitive load as you're using mental calories in order to communicate. And that's one of the things that we were talking about before, guys. I was talking about before, you know, when you're on Zoom, you know, the way the camera is faced to you, sometimes it's not the way that you want it to, you want to look on camera, right? Sometimes maybe you'd have to tilt your head depending on how your, you know, your body and structure is formed. Maybe you have to over nod and over exaggerate your nod or over exaggerate your, you know, just the way that you're doing things, right? Your communication style, right? So that in itself really does put some stress, you know. So good things to really combat that are some of the things, like it said in this article too, guys, definitely just minimizing your screen, you know, maybe getting rid of, you know, the self-viewing part so you don't have to view yourself every time, right? The person can already see you. So that can already be kind of a little bit of a throwback, right? So say if you're, you know, you're on Zoom with somebody and you can see yourself in the Zoom as well, that can be also just a little bit of annoying, right? You're looking at yourself plus you're looking at Zoom. It's better to just obviously look at the person, right? Kind of just like FaceTime. When you're on the iPhone, you can just FaceTime the person that you're on the other side of the phone, right? They can see you can see them. You really can't see yourself. You're just naturally, you know, going out about a conversation, right? Which needs to happen too, because if you're talking about integrating, you know, augmented reality, mixed reality, you know, virtual reality, you know, in the digital realm, you're not going to be looking at yourself in the mirror all the time talking. You're going to be talking to another individual. They're going to be looking at you. So having that extra mirror does create some sort of definitely extra conflict. So definitely, guys, if you want to learn more as well on how to kind of fight that Zoom fatigue, go ahead, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, we got news on Samsung. So Samsung's next cheap tablet could be a pint-sized iPad mini rival launching soon, right? So it looks like it's going to be a small iPad mini kind of looking tablet. So pretty cool, right? It's going to be definitely more affordable. So affordable tablets tend to be smaller devices, and Samsung's upcoming cheap tablet could be no different. Shortly after hearing initial news of the Samsung Galaxy Tab A7 Lite, we've now got new information on the new mini tablet. As spotted by Price Baba, the Galaxy Tab A7 Lite has passed certification through the U.S. Federal Commission, right? Communications Commission. While there isn't really any new information here, it does tell us one thing. The tablet could be very close to launch, as FCC filings only happen in the build-up to a release, right? So that's pretty good news, guys. So it looks like that this tablet that's going to be more affordable under Samsung could be releasing very, very soon. I would say definitely, you know, probably within the next few months, guys. And we can definitely keep you guys updated on that as well too. If you guys want to see more pictures, learn more about the new Galaxy Tab A7, please, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too, guys. More news on Twitter, right? So Twitter, guys, for you guys that love Twitter, Twitter uses an Android that can now join the platform's Clubhouse-like Spaces, right? So Twitter introduced a limited version of the Clubhouse competitor on iOS in January. While any users of Twitter's iOS app can join and listen to Spaces, only a few can host them at the moment. Twitter said it was giving Spaces to a very small feedback group to start with, women and people from other marginalized groups given opportunity. Now users of Twitter Android app can join and listen to Spaces as well. So that's very, very interesting, guys, right? Now, this version of Clubhouse, this limited version of, it's, I guess, a Clubhouse competitor, is going to be an interesting rollout for Twitter, right? People that have Android, people that can use this, right? And for you guys that don't know, Clubhouse is pretty much a new app that has been, you know, rolled out. You know, it's been around, you know, recently. So lots of different celebrities are on Clubhouse, lots of different creators, lots of different artists. And also, guys, it's not like a social media platform where you can just sign up and, you know, have an account and log in. You have to have an invite only, or you have to apply to be on the wait list so you can get the link to sign up. So it's pretty exclusive. I do like that idea too, because it really just takes out the, it really weeds out the people that are not really creators or producers or content creators or do anything online versus people that actually do things, who do produce, who do create, who have something to offer, right? So this is something that is very, very interesting. And so if you guys want to learn more about this too, guys, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, we have Samsung, more news on Samsung, guys. So Samsung starts shipping its most ambitious TV lineup in years. Samsung has begun shipments of its 2021 TV lineup, which is led by new Neo QLED 8K and 4K TVs that use mini LED technology to achieve greater contrast and improve picture quality than its previous years, guys, right? So with mini LED, the company is able to cram much smaller LEDs and way more than before, right, into TV's backlighting system. This gives the TV much finer control over the dimming zones and black levels, and it should dramatically cut down on any unwanted blooming effect, guys. So that is pretty dope. As you can see, this is, we spoke about this TV a couple episodes back on our channel. I think it's episode probably 32 or 33. We spoke on the mini LED TV. You know, I think it's about 162, 165 inches. Definitely costing more, upwards towards $500,000. But definitely, guys, this is something that is very, very interesting. And it looks like, you know, Samsung has begun shipments of this TV, and this TV is looking very, very nice, guys. So if we click into this article, and we see definitely some pictures here, as you can see, the Neo QLED 8K TV, absolutely gorgeous. I don't think this is the 162 inch. I believe this may be even smaller, but still, guys, very, very just neat display. Just imagine playing the Xbox or the PS5 or a gaming system on this TV, or just even watching TV on this. It's just amazing. I mean, it looks crystal clear. Awesome, guys. As you can see, guys, they have different interest size too. You can see that the micro LED set, they have an 110 inch, they have the 99 inch, and they have 88 inch as well too. So the 110 inch and the 99 inch micro LED TVs will be available in April. All of them are sure to be, you know, very, very expensive, guys. So as you can see, the flagship no bezel design, the Neo QLED 8K, right? So the 85 inch goes for around $9,000. The 75 inch goes for around $7,000. And the 65 inch goes for around $5,000, guys. So you also have the you also have different versions, right, of you know, the QLED, right? So you have the 4K versions, you have the 8K versions. 4K version's not that bad too, right? So the 4K version's 55 inch, which is a very nicely, you know, very nice screen size, right? You can put in your living room, you can put in your bedroom, you know, nobody, you know, 85 inches is really a lot. And obviously we saw the 165 inch, which is crazy. But the 55 inch, guys, we see it's $1,800 right now. And this is looking very, very nice here too, guys. We also see another 4K version for $1,600, and you see the Frame series, the Frame 2021 series, 43 inch, which is only $1,000 for 43 inches. I don't think it's 4K though. 4K, the 55 inch Q80A series is $1,300. And obviously, guys, you can see all of these prices here too. If you guys follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article and you can learn more there. Also, guys, if you are looking for a very nice price TV, you don't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, we do have nicely priced TVs on our website at electronicadditions.net for great prices under our member prices as well. We do sell some of our products, we do sell them retail, but if you do become a member, you are able to get it at the wholesale price. So please, guys, definitely check it out, electronicadditions.net, to learn more there too, guys. All right, these TVs are looking awesome. Moreover, guys, we also have the DJI's first person drone. Is a lot of fun. So the new FPV drone is bundled together with the DJI's goggles and a new controller for the price of $1,300, right? So this is a drone, guys, as you can see. And drones, guys, if we take a step back, drones really are starting to become very, very, very more used, right? So widely used. I see people that I've never really expected to use a drone are actually using drones, you know, because they want to videotape more. And not only that, it's these drones, they come with, you know, 4K and 8K display too. So when you're shooting videos, it's very, very clean. Right, so you can see, you know, the drone is bundled together with the DJI's goggles and new controller for the price of $1,300. The price is steep, but if you're considering this as your starter FPV drone, but it's quite comparable with the rest of the drones on the market, which are often sold with controllers, goggles, or cameras, right? So very, very interesting, guys. If you want to learn, if you want to see more about this this new drone that came out as well too, the DJI's first person drone, right? You can go ahead, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you guys can learn more about it there too. All right, guys, so this may be your guys's favorite game. Grab Ratchet and Clank for free is on the PS4 and PS5 right now, guys. For you guys don't know, Ratchet and Clank is from 2016, is free to pick up for PS4 and PS5 owners right now as part of Sony's Play at Home initiative, but only for a limited time, right? So starting from today, PlayStation players can grab the PS4 Classic for free until March 31st at 8 p.m. Pacific time and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right? So that is very, very, very cool, guys, right? So definitely this is going to be free for you guys the full month. So, you know, definitely check it out, guys. Anything free, guys, definitely download it too, right? Because if you download it, it's free. It's yours, right? Forever, right? Because come April 1st, come April 2nd, it's not going to be free anymore. Maybe there might be other games that you can download that are free, but you can download this, keep it in your library, and it looks pretty good. So it's a great time to try out and revisit Ratchet & Clank ahead of the release of Ratchet & Clank, A Rift Apart this June. What's more, once you redeem the game, it's yours to keep. While this is the PS4 version, Ratchet & Clank will also work on the PS5 via backwards compatibility. So definitely, definitely amazing, guys. If you want to go ahead and see more about this game, go ahead. Please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can definitely learn more about it there, too. Moreover, guys, we have Battlefield 6, its release date, trailer, news, and rumors. This is very, very exciting for you guys that love first-person shooters. You guys love Call of Duty. You guys love Battlefield. Personally, I love Call of Duty, but I also do not mind Battlefield. I played Battlefield 5. I have Battlefield 5, and it is a pretty good game. Very, very interesting. Now, Battlefield 6 looks like it's going to be ridiculous, right? So the new Battlefield, potentially called Battlefield 6, is in development at EA DICE, and it's set to arrive on PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC in the holiday of 2021, so sometime between October and December. Details on Battlefield 6 remains thin on the ground at this point in development, but EA has teased that the new Battlefield will be true next gen vision for the franchise and boast never before seen scale, with rumors pointing to potential 128 player maps and modern day setting, guys. And this is very, very key, guys, because as you can see, the newest Battlefield, or the Battlefield 5, I believe, you guys can go ahead, play on, I think, 64 player maps, and that was just crazy. I mean, the maps are huge. It's really looking like a war, you know, and the maps are huge, guys. It's not like Call of Duty. Some of the maps are kind of small. You're kind of confined into spaces. It's still a nice game, right? But Battlefield, the maps are very big. The weapons are very nice. You're able to, see a little bit more, and experience a lot more, guys. So definitely get ready for this, guys. It is definitely on its way. So let's see if there's any trailers or so show you guys today, and see what is the deal. So you can see this first photo here, it looks very, very nice. And what is the release date, right? So Battlefield 6 is due to release holiday 2021 for PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. This release window was confirmed by EA CEO Andrew Wilson in an earnings call in November 2020. The next Battlefield is set to launch in holiday 2021, and we're excited to share a lot more of the game in the spring, Wilson said during the call. That means we can expect the game to release between October and December this year, with more news to come sometime between March and May. Wilson has recently reaffirmed that we'll see Battlefield in spring 2021, and that the game is set to release in holiday 2021. We will reveal the game in the spring and deliver the defining Battlefield experience for our players in the 2021 holiday season, Wilson said. Right, so however, the COVID-19 pandemic still ongoing, it's possible we can see the game's release date delayed, right? So let's definitely check out this trailer here, this teaser trailer, and let's get ready for this game, right? This game is looking pretty awesome. So let's see, guys.
Now, that's a lot to look forward to, but there's more. Here to tell us about the future of gaming is EA's Chief Studio Officer, Laura Miele.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lamar. Welcome to the EA Sports family. There are great things to come from EA Sports for all of you, and that's just the beginning. As you've seen throughout the show today, our Electronic Artists are working hard to bring you more of the games that you want to play. Games like Star Wars Squadrons, Apex Legends, and Command & Conquer. These games all exist because of you. Your voices are heard, and we are acting on your feedback. Now, we've talked a lot about all the exciting games you'll be playing this year, but our studios are working even further out, creating new experiences, new stories, new gameplay, all enabled by new console technology. And we're so excited about what's to come, we don't want to wait until next June to share what the teams are working on. Generation shifts are an opportunity to push beyond the boundaries of gaming as we know it today, and this time is no different. Our studios are taking their crazy ambitious ideas and making them real. Criterion is known for how their games feel. From superior physics to nuanced details of gameplay, this team hand curates the moment-to-moment experience. And with the new consoles this year, there will be a seamless immersion which will get you into the race in a matter of seconds. BioWare imagines and creates worlds where you become the hero of your own story. And we're using this next generation of technology to make those fantasy worlds your reality. For every console generation, DICE sets the bar for excellence in audio and visual presentation. We are creating epic battles at a scale and fidelity unlike anything you've experienced before. At Motive, we are working on a highly ambitious and innovative new game that puts the power and creativity in your hands. And it's an experience that would have been impossible without next-gen technology. This is just the beginning of the things we are working on, and there is so much more to come. The future of EA Studios is not just about new technology. It's about you, your voices, your ideas. We want to be where you come to play. We want to make games for everyone. So please keep giving us your feedback, and let's build the future together. On behalf of all of our studios, thank you for joining us today. But before we sign off, there's just one more game we would love to share. Cousin Darren, over to you.
All right. So looks like this was just the pretty much a short video of the team developing Battlefield 6. Not really a kind of teaser trailer, but still, guys, that's very good to know. Obviously, we know that the team behind the game is working very hard to make it as best it can as possible, obviously, guys. And this is going to be interesting, especially for the newer consoles, PS5 and Xbox Series X. This is just going to be looking very seamless. Again, guys, we have the last Battlefields, as we already know it, Battlefield 5 and also Battlefield 1 as well, looking very, very nice on the PS4 and Xbox One X as well. You know, those were looking nice there. They're going to be looking 10 times better and feeling seamless and very smoothless on the new consoles as well too. So if you want to learn more about this information too, guys, go ahead, please follow us on LinkedIn, click into this article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, we also have NASA's latest Mars rover has the same processor as an iMac from 1998. NASA's brand new Perseverance rover is the most advanced machine that's ever landed on Mars, guys. But when it comes to rovers, state-of-the-art is a subjective term. Perseverance is running on none other than PowerPC 750, a single-core 233 megahertz processor with just 6 million transistors. That's most famous for powering the original Bondi Blue iMac from 1998. Guys, it's the same type of processor that NASA already uses in its Curiosity rover. Very interesting, guys. So that is very cool. NASA's latest Mars rover has the same processor as the iMac 1998. So that means that if we're talking about this, guys, that means the iMac, the processor from the iMac 1998 is very powerful. That means if you have machines going into space on Mars and they've landed on Mars and has the same type of processor, that should tell you something, guys, right? And I think if you guys just take a quick look on Google, if you guys look up the older MacBooks or the older iMacs, they are very, very expensive. It's not like they're like $2 because they're old. Their value holds a lot more, right? That's the original, right? Those are the original prototypes, original processors, original, state-of-the-art technology, right? So this is very, very cool, very great news by NASA, and definitely there is definitely more and more to come. All right. Lastly, guys, we have the PlayStation Store. Unfortunately, will not let you buy or rent movies and TV shows after August 31st. So if you prefer buying all of your movies and TV shows on PlayStation Store, you won't be able to do that for much longer, right? So in a blog post today, Sony announced that it's discontinuing those purchases on its digital store starting August 31st. So fortunately, guys, that is the case with Sony, and they're saying this now, guys. Honestly, they could say this now, but they could change it later, right? We know how Sony and Microsoft, we know, you know, how PlayStation and Xbox roll. They can say, hey, you know what, we'll actually let you guys keep doing this, but you can't do something else, right? But for now, it looks like they're saying that we won't be able to buy or rent movies or TV shows on the PlayStation Store on August 31st. But let's be real, who is buying movies or TV shows on the PlayStation Store, where there's mostly video games and people can watch Netflix, right? So if anything, you know, hey, honestly, this doesn't affect me. It may affect you guys if you guys watch TV.